Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where both hosts think Tony Dungy was right to pick Bobby Wagner as defensive player. Lenny just likes him because he has Wag in his name.
That was a great
call. What year was that?
2013, 14.
That Tony Dungy was the sole vote.
Yeah, he voted for Bobby Wagner for MVP.
Oh, if you guys didn't know that, yeah, sorry, went real inside, real early.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah, all my jokes are just for you, Danny. Thank you so much for coming to this. This is amazing. It's super exciting. It's awesome for me in particular to be on stage with Danny Kelly.
Yeah.
From The Ringer, who I know from. Before I was a sports writer, when I was working
Seahawks
at Bloomberg
Twitter.
And just tweeting dumb football stuff all day and memes, yeah. Danny was the editor of Field Goals at the time.
I think I remember when you had 1,000 Twitter followers. Now you have what, like 200,000?
I don't know. but yeah, we used to just chat about the Seahawks online. Never thought we'd be here doing this with all of you guys. Never thought I'd be doing it for a living.
Random. My mom told me that you were born in Omaha.
It's true.
I was born in Omaha.
Wait, really?
She was Googling you or something, but yeah.
I like the thought of your mom Googling me to make sure it was okay for you to do this show.
I guess so, yeah.
She was like, it's okay. She was born in Omaha.
I think it was she wanted to make it a talking point, so there we go. Yeah. So,
Heartland. Mission accomplished. Danny Kelly's mom. Danny Kelly, new dad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. He's 1 month old.
Baby Marshawn.
A couple days ago. We call him Babytron. His name is Calvin.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Betrayal.
Yeah. His mom is here in the crowd somewhere. I don't know.
She is. It's okay. She doesn't want to.
He's not here, though. I don't know if babies are allowed here.
He could show up at any point.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I regretfully inform you that Lenny does not like to fly on planes. Yeah. What?
Oh! The bandana.
He didn't want to be here in a way, so he's teleconferencing in.
He's like, what do I do?
For people who listen to this podcast and don't see what's happening, we've got Lenny on the call. So he's participating in his way and really just being a tremendous distraction, which is true to character.
Is he going to be back there the whole time?
You know, maybe not. Okay. I don't know if the crowd might see some things they'll never unsee if we have a camera on him. Lenny gets excited when cameras are on him. I'll leave it at that.
Oh.
Upstage by my own dog, what's new? So... It's really a problem. yeah, he's cute, I know. He doesn't like to fly. It is hot. When we flew cross country when I moved to Los Angeles, I put him underneath. He's just small enough to fit underneath, like, the seat in front of you. You have to put him
paste?
In a bag, okay. Which he was not happy about.
Right.
It was just, like, shaking it from side to side. And then I think a few hours in, I looked down and... I don't know if you guys have ever seen Alien, but you know when the alien kind of like makes its way through the bag? I just saw his teeth. He had chewed his way out of the bag, and I knew then never again would I fly with him. But he's here. Fair. He's here in his own special way.
Yeah.
On the podcast, we've been doing division previews.
Yep.
And I saved the NFC West for Seattle for obvious reasons. What if I just showed up and I was like, AFC South, let's go.
let's talk about the Jags.
Jags. Yeah. Tighten up. Do we have, are those real? Are you wearing a Titans jersey?
Oh my.
Sir.
Is that Derek
Carr? At the end of the year, when the Titans have 9 wins and everyone's surprised, he was not surprised. He was like, I knew it.
Mariota, he's coming back.
We'll see about that.
That was the first time I've ever said Mariota right.
I am extremely hot. So we're going to do the division preview. We'll talk about those other teams first, I think.
Those other teams.
Save the good guys for last. I try not to go full Homer on the podcast, and I think I mostly succeed, but we're going full Homer tonight.
I'm the traitor, though. I don't think I can do it.
Trader Tanny. Yeah. Yeah, that's an extreme internet inside joke. Yeah.
I think one person got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, before I do, like, before I go team by team, I kind of like to take a step back and look at the division and ask who's going to win, how many of these teams are actual playoff contenders. And I think the NFC West is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because I think that the Rams are clearly the favorite and deservedly so. You can boo if you want. It's okay. wow. Yeah. But I think Seattle is absolutely in wild card contention.
Right.
And then I think the other two teams are very high variance.
Like, yeah.
I could see them going either way dramatically.
They're X Factor or like wild card, not wild card playoff team necessarily, but wild. They're, who knows what the hell is going to happen to those two teams. I think the 49ers are better, a lot better than what they were last year in terms of, I think they finished, what, like 4-12 or something?
Yeah.
They're a lot better than that. And then the Cardinals are the most X Factor team, maybe in the NFL.
Sorry.
He's distracting. I mean, like, do you want to just start? You want to just start with the Cardinals?
Yeah, let's start with the Cardinals. Sorry, Lenny, I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry, guys. I know.
Wow.
All right, let's start with the Cardinals. That's a throwback pick we've got up there of poor Josh Rosen, the dearly departed, and Kyler Murray. And I think...
The dearly departed. Well, he didn't die.
He went to Miami.
Oh, that's
true. Same thing. So, we love the fish tank on the Mina Kimes show. I think that... It's funny to me. I think most people would say Kyler Murray is the X factor on the Cardinals. I think he's really exciting, and yeah. I'm a big fan of his. I think Cliff Kingsbury, the coach, is way more of an X factor than the quarterback in terms of, like, I question the hiring of him much more than I question them taking Kyler.
Right. I mean, so I look at the Cardinals, and it could go spectacularly, right? It could be like the Browns last year where Mayfield came in and just lit the world on fire, or it can just be terrible. Like, it could legitimately be terrible. So, what we've heard from the Kingsbury offense, we don't even know what it's going to look like, really. Is it going to be a full-blown air raid?
What if he just came out and rolled, like, the rule of 53 or whatever, Brian Schottenheimer? Like, what if Kingsbury just shocked the world? And it was like, actually, I've always wanted to establish the run.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. What we have heard from them is that it's going to be more like the Kingsbury offenses we saw in college. Air raid, four verts, super fast pace. I think they said something like they're going to break the record for the amount of plays
Johnson said they're going to run, the plan is to run 90 plays a game. Which, by the way, has
that would shatter
never
the
happened
record.
In the NFL before. No team has ever run 80 plays a game. So... it would be completely unheard of. It's not going to happen. But they're going to try to, like, go really, really fast, air it out. Kingsbury's offenses were really, really pass heavy. He said in an interview recently they're going to do more five wide receiver stuff than the NFL is accustomed to.
Five wide receivers?
Yeah.
Do they even have five wide receivers? Who can name the fifth Cardinals wide receiver? Who is it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Some of you could.
Chad Williams backfired
on me.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I liked the wide receivers that they took in the draft. I love, like, especially for
Isabella.
That offense. Isabella, that's what you want, that speedy slot receiver in the air raid.
They have Christian Kirk,
who was pretty good last year, who almost caught a cool catch from Josh Rosen. That's like the Cardinal season summed up, and
banner? Did they put that up?
All right.
No.
We're not one to talk about banners here with Seahawks Twitter.
DVOA champs. Four times.
We'll get to that. No, but I like the pieces that they added.
Yeah.
I still don't like the offensive line, obviously, although they made some additions there.
Sweezy.
Oh, right. Sweezy. Traitor. Seahawks legend. I think we let him walk.
David Johnson is going to be sort of the...
The fifth running back, really, right? He's going to catch...
Fifth receiver, yeah.
Oh, right, receiver, yeah. Sorry, I was thinking about Seattle. Actually, San Francisco has like 3,000 running backs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, like, so I really like Kyler Murray. I think his floor is a lot higher than people think. If it does go wrong, it would be because he either gets broken in half.
Right.
Broken. Or breaking. breaking in half is when you like slow and you start breakdancing and half speed. Or I think it'll be because he is not good under pressure, because in college he wasn't really under pressure that much.
Right. I mean, so yeah, in the NFL you can't quite do the same things in the air raid as you do in college. The hash marks are closer together in the NFL, right? I always confuse that.
Yeah, yes. They're closer together
in the NFL.
So you can't line up all across the field.
So it's just a different dynamic. Then the linemen probably are going to have to stand closer together. It's just a little bit different. That said, Kingsbury said he's going to run a offense that looks a lot like what Lincoln Riley ran at Oklahoma last year, so it'll be familiar for him.
Yeah.
The one thing that he does have is he's very, very elusive. It's like Russell Wilson early in his career is just running around for his life. But that's also like a good thing because he will be able to make plays. He can use his feet. I've compared him to like Tariq Cohen as a runner. He's a human.
Kyler, yes.
Yeah. So that element is going to be really interesting. I think they're going to do the read option in that offense. Let him be a runner. Let him do his thing. I mean, if you're going out, getting Cliff Kingsbury, why would you sort of hold that offense back? Why not just go for it? I think that's what they're going to do. So it's going to be really fun to watch. It could go terribly, but...
Well, and if it goes terribly, I think it'll be largely because of the defense, not the offense.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to have to score 3,000 points a game because the defense hasn't improved at all. I mean, they weren't terrible last year.
They were middling, I think.
Worst run defense... but they're starting. Patrick Peterson's out six games.
Six games, yeah.
That's troubling because...
Yeah, who else do they have in the secondary? That's a question mark.
Or Buda Baker, local hero. That's about it. We like Buda Baker.
I mean, their safeties are fun, but yeah.
Swearinger.
Taylor Rapp in the draft, right?
Oh, no, sorry, that's the Rams. Yeah, we'll get to the Rams.
I'm ahead of myself.
I think they're switching to a 3-4. They've got Vance Joseph now as defensive coordinator. Yeah. Exactly.
Does anyone feel passionate about Vance Joseph as a play caller or defensive coordinator? Yeah?
It's a guy in a Bronco shirt who's sticking his tongue out.
He feels passionately in the wrong way for Cardinals.
I mean, this is kind of the end of the road for Robert and Kandice. They still have Chandler Jones. I don't know. This is boring. I don't need to run down the roster. You guys know. They're like mediocre.
You're losing them.
Let's cap this. Yeah. I know. Hello. Welcome to the Mean and Kind Show. 30 minutes of Cardinals talk. I'm not super optimistic about them, even though I do think the offense could be pretty exciting. I think they're solidly the fourth place team in the division.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Wade.
All right. So Danny and I were talking about this backstage a little bit because I do think it's fair to anticipate that the Rams will win the division and be the favorite. Really, the roster hasn't changed a ton. And if anything, I actually think... throw out a few boos while we're talking about these other teams. Get it out of your systems! Yeah. Sean McVay, why is his beard line so high? Good coach, but... I think there's some interesting questions about him because we kind of saw this team get out-coached and outclassed in the Super Bowl, and I think it raised a lot of questions about whether or not the McVenius, or that's such a gross nickname.
What did you just say?
I know. I do LA radio and they call him that, and as soon as I said it, I felt gross. I just think there are a lot of questions about whether this Rams offense, which we know has a few very specific hallmarks, right? 89% of the time. Play action from under center, almost exclusively, right? One of the few teams that passed to running backs out of play action. The same three wide receivers used many different ways. A lot of pre-snap motions. They did that all season. That is their hallmark.
Right.
The question I have for you, Danny Kelly, is will they continue doing it after what happened to them at the end of the season in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, what the hell did happen in the Super Bowl? I think that they'll largely stick to it because they're getting Cooper Kupp back, which is going to be big for them.
Massive.
Because, I mean, when they have him, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks on the field at the same time, they can basically do whatever they want. They were sort of an interesting offense in the sense they didn't do very much creatively, like formationally, but it was all very different after the snap. They were doing a lot of different, their route combinations after the snap. It was scheming guys open all the time. I don't think that's going to change, but...
Like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But it was broke at the end.
Yeah.
And the question was why. Like, were they figured out? There was a stretch near the end of the season when the offense got really slowed down.
Right.
You could say they were figured out, or you could point out they played the Eagles and the Bears. Cooper Kupp was hurt. Right. They had to move Robert Woods inside. And the interior of the offensive line, which is going to look very different this year, kind of cratered.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a great point, and that may be why they have to change this next year, because last year they had the same five offensive linemen start every game, all 19 games, including the Super Bowl. This year, they lost John Sullivan, they lost Roger Saffold, two young guys filling in at those two spots. So it's going to be, are they going to be able to sort of rely on the same stuff as last year? That's a big question going into the season. And with those two guys up front, you never know. Because, I mean, we saw the gigantic lanes that Todd Gurley had to run through. And so is that going to be the same with different personnel on the offensive line? We'll see.
Shout out to Ben Baldwin, who's not here, but does those amazing Photoshops where it shows
only
like...
a generational back could run through this 17-foot
Well, let's talk
hole.
About that generational back, because I feel like...
Are we going to do this?
No, we're not doing it!
Okay.
Running backs don't matter. no. No. I think that the fairer question to ask is not whether running backs matter at all, but how important is Todd Gurley to this offense? Because I said this last week on the radio, and the heat emanated. I said Cooper Kupp was more important to this offense than Todd Gurley. People do not like that take, but it's true.
Did you see the Football Outsiders had a stat about this? Jared Goff, weeks 1 through 9, his DVOA was 29.9, which is kind of a random number, but really freaking good.
And with then Cooper Kupp.
With Cooper Kupp in the offense. And then weeks 10 through 17, it was 2.5, which is approaching average, essentially.
Yeah, and we all saw C.J. Bowling Ball Anderson field quite capably in for Todd Gurley. And now they have Darrell Henderson.
Who is awesome. And he's going to be a lot of fun.
We're not excited about this team. I want to be clear. Yeah. Like, we are not we're just telling you like it is.
Darrell Henderson averaged, I think, 8.2 yards per carry or 8.1 last year on the season. Could he do that in the NFL in this offense with those generational gaps in the offensive line? I think so. Plus, he's a really good receiver. So, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what Todd Gurley's role in the offense is this year.
I think if the Rams have a weakness, and we can kind of wrap it up here a little bit, the run defense was actually really bad last year, in part because Ndamukong Suh didn't start trying until the playoffs. He was just like not extremely senior spring from Suh. And they, unfortunately, we've got another local favorite, Greg Gaines, they drafted, who could... I know. There's so many Washington guys in this division.
Yeah.
And Taylor, the aforementioned Taylor Rapp, who they don't really need because they added Weddle. I mean, they need him eventually, but they've got Weddle in the short term.
He might not play right away, yeah.
They have a very good secondary, but I think that the run defense is not that improved. And I question the pass rush outside of Aaron Donald.
Right, so they signed Clay Matthews in free agency, which...
I didn't do anything.
Do Packers fans listen to this podcast?
Yeah, and I didn't do anything. No, they got him. They paid Dante Fowler, which I thought was kind of weird. Yeah. I don't think he was as productive as they would have hoped.
I mean, Samson Ibukam?
He had like two really good games
sure
at the end of the season.
So
no, it's okay.
Lot.
Yeah.
Troy that pass rush outside of Aaron Donald is
not
highly questionable.
Yes, I would say so. I think that because Aaron Donald is so good, it still
might not matter.
And I think that the secondary is good enough to the point where it doesn't have to be incredible. But yeah, I think that would be the hole on this team.
The Rams are going to be what they are based on their offense. I don't think their defense like really matters. Middling last year, they went to the Super Bowl. Their offense, if it's going to be, I think they finished like second or first in DVOA last year. It's a really, really good offense. So that's going to carry them or not.
Yes. All right, next team.
49ers.
loves it. You haters. I'm not here for that. That's a legend right there. That's a Seahawks legend. That is a Seahawks legend that we love to beat now. Heck yeah. That's what I'm about. So this team is I think one of the highest variance teams in the NFL. Yep. And could wildly go in any direction.
Right.
I have some questions about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
Because before
he... Is he... Oh, go ahead. Finish your question.
Yes, he's very handsome.
Is he better than Nick Mullins?
That is amazing! This is my favorite galaxy brain take that is also kind of true.
Yeah.
Our friend Bill Barnwell tweeted a comp of Garoppolo's stats before he got hurt and Nick Mullins, and surprise folks, they're pretty close.
Yeah.
He wasn't actually, I think his completion percentage was below 60% before he got hurt. He wasn't that good under pressure, which is something he's always struggled a little bit with, like most quarterbacks. I think it's a reasonable question to ask whether or not he's worth his contract.
Well, and crucially, I think they can get out of his contract after the season. So it really is sort of a make-or-break season for Jimmy G. I mean, I still think he has the potential to be really, really good, but...
Yeah.
Rip
him.
I had a stat written down. He got sacked so much last season. It was like
before he got hurt.
Sack percentage was 12.7%. Tom Brady's 3.6 for context. So,
wow. And Nick Mullins, I think obviously Kyle Shanahan is an incredible offensive mind.
That's kind of the point. Like, is this just Shanahan's offense is kind of
during that? Remember that one game where Nick Mullins was like really awesome? He came in and really everyone was like, Nick Mullins is the future. All I remember is Googling Nick Mullins Asian. Turns out he just has small eyes, guys. He's not Asian. Also, his grandfather blocked me on Twitter. I don't know why. But during my research, that's what I figured out.
What?
He is white and his grandfather hates me. I don't know. It's weird, folks. But he was... pretty good. Unfortunately, I regret to inform you that George Kittle is a thing and will continue to be a thing. Another Washington beloved Pettis. I hate that they have him.
He's a breakout candidate.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. He's going to be their number one guy, like their go-to guy in that offense, obviously after Kittle. But
after him, it's pretty thin, though, at the receiver position.
They've got a bunch of young guys. Obviously, Marquise Goodwin's still there. Matthews, I think, is there.
Jordan Matthews is there. That's correct. So, I'm impressed that you knew that. Matthews is like one of those NFL players where like, huh, he's on that team. Like, there's like a subsect of guys, and he's fully in that group now. Also, 400 running backs.
Yeah. They signed.
That's an approximate number.
They signed Tevin Coleman. They have Jerick McKinnon, Matt Breida. Jeff Wilson, which is a
Madden
auto populate name.
Kyle Shanahan's like trolling the Seahawks,
Raheem
just adding
Mostert?
Running. Almost, yeah, yeah. But the first three are good. McKinnon coming back from injury.
Yeah.
Coleman is good. They got him for very cheap. And then Matt Breida was awesome last year. And then the freaking fullback who they use constantly.
Juszczyk. Made him the highest paid fullback by about $10 million a year. Yeah.
So I want to ask you, is this defense, they're going to be better because it would be hard not to be.
Yeah.
Are they good? Because this defensive line is going to look very different. Now that they've got Nick Bosa on one side, Dee Ford on the other. And then I guess in the middle we'll see DeForest Buckner and potentially Eric Armstead or Solomon Thomas, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean this defensive line has potential to be like it was a weakness last year. It has the potential to be a really big strength this year. Dee Ford, obviously they traded for him and then gave him an extension. Nick Bosa could be a 10 sack guy as a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, I think DeForest Buckner is one of the best three techniques in the
NFL. Really good.
Yeah.
They've drafted like so many defensive linemen and he's the only one I feel good about.
Right. I don't know what's going to happen with Eric Armstead. Solomon
he's so
Thomas.
Tall.
Yeah. 6'7".
That's all I got.
He's really tall.
Their secondary is not good.
But after Sherman?
After Sherman, it's not good. It's really not good.
I studied for this. I don't remember who their other coroners are.
They did pay Jason Verrett, who could be good.
That's another X factor.
I'll tell you who the other corner is. It's someone who Richard Sherman promises is going to be the best cornerback in NFL history.
Therald Simon?
He used to do that a lot. Yeah, shout out to Therald Simon.
No. Wherever you are. Yeah.
And I think their plan for the secondary is rush the passer.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly. Nick Bosa is their solution.
Bracket away from Sherman and rush the passer. Yeah.
So the best case for the Niners is the pass rush is actually really good, which is entirely
could
in the
be.
Realm of possibility.
Yeah.
And Jimmy G in Kyle Shanahan's offense, which is apparently quite confusing, although Nick Mullins picked it up right away. Let's make that a thing. Nick Mullins Hive.
Jimmy G's dumb.
I don't care that his grandpa hates me.
Okay. I want to talk real quick.
Yeah.
Shanahan is the master at scheming up yak, the yards after contact.
Yes, he is.
George Kittle led the NFL in yards after contact. That's all positions, not just tight ends, which is crazy.
Yeah. That's insane.
So, to me, when I think of Shanahan's offense, it's basically that he, like McVay, can scheme up ways to get guys open in the open field, give them room to run. Kittle is an excellent athlete. And
what is your question? You're just super high on the Niners?
Oh, did I have a question? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Question. Yeah.
I was just talking about how good he is.
Yeah, I just wanted
to. It's so annoying.
I know. It is, really. He was right there for the Seahawks, too. Let's not talk about that.
When did they take him in the draft?
He's a fifth rounder.
Oh, my God.
The Seahawks took Tedrick Thompson a little bit before.
Okay, that's... Yeah. No, well, you know what? Let's get to them. Come on.
Okay.
All right. Hey. Hey, Seattle. We got a deal. So, Danny,
yeah.
Should this wonderful human being behind us, Russell Carrington Wilson, be allowed to pass the football more?
What do you guys think? Yeah?
Let's take an audience vote. Who wants to run it more?
That wasn't his enthusiasm.
Leave! No, I'm just kidding. You can stay. Listen to Dwayne Brown, our God, when he says
When offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Says that, I don't know, we could probably pass it more. Like, that means a lot.
On early downs, first and second down, Seattle was the only team to pass less than 45%.
Sweet.
Wow. Generally the only team to pass on fewer than 52% of all plays.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about it. This is the ongoing debate, I feel like, because on one hand, Seattle offense was good by advanced
right.
Like, I think they finished in the top 10 in DVOA off the top of my head.
Yep, ninth, sixth in pass, sixth run.
So I think that's a reasonable counter to this notion that,
right.
You know, oh, it's so messed up, I hate it, the running or whatever. Obviously, we all have a bad taste in our mouths from the wild card game. But the offense was successful.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you could argue that it was successful because Russell Wilson bailed them out a lot on third down. I mean, where do you fall on the spectrum of how much, you know, how angry you are at Brian Schottenheimer?
I mean, it's a loaded question. I don't actually mind that much that they want to be a smash mouth team or whatever. That's their identity. That's what Pete Carroll's always done since like the 1940s or whatever, however old he is. So it doesn't actually bother me that much. That's what they want to be.
Yes.
But I mean, they gave Russell Wilson, 30-plus million a year. Let him do more. They're treating him, to me, like a little bit like a rookie on first and second downs. I mean, like, they need to trust him more to do, like, to not turn the ball over on first and second down because they on first down, like you said it, they passed less than any team in the NFL by a lot.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that they need to like be a pass first team or whatever. It's just let Wilson, it's just relative.
He's so
let
good.
Let him do more, yeah.
Right.
And
I mean,
trust him to not turn the ball over.
The teams that passed like in the same realm as Seattle last year were the Bills, the Jags and the Titans. I see you. Those quarterbacks
Josh Allen,
very different from Russell Wilson. I think that's what's so frustrating about this. To me,
it's like a little bit weird that they have this philosophy because Pete Carroll is very risk averse, right? He doesn't want to turn the ball over. Turnovers are the biggest key to victory or whatever.
Protect the ball,
But at the same time, at the exact same time, they're putting Wilson into really tough situations on third down by running the ball. Yeah. And so to me, it's asked backwards sometimes.
You know? Sometimes, yes.
It's all relative because, so I just think that they should let him be him a little bit more.
I think that now, though, the question is, who's he going to throw it to?
Yeah.
So right now, the state of the Seattle receiver core is very interesting. It's going to be a really interesting preseason generally for Seattle. To me, it feels like for the first time in a while, there's so much competition across this roster. There are so many places where they need either first or second year players to step up. We'll talk about the pass rush in a second, but wide receiver is clearly an area where it's kind of anyone's game after Lockett. Obviously,
who was awesome, by the way. Can we acknowledge Lockett? When they signed him, he was like, eighth highest paid receiver at one point.
And I remember
thinking like, what the hell are they doing?
Yes.
And now I get it. I mean, they saw, credit to them, because they saw he was legitimately amazing last year. And
Wilson had like a perfect passer rating with him, which is insane. Maybe you should throw to him more. After him, it's Metcalf.
Yeah. David Moore.
David Moore, who I think they would like to see, you know, return to form, in a manner of speaking. Pete spoke highly about Jaren Brown. And then Gary Jennings.
Who could be fun. He's really, really fast, really physical over the middle. I think he could potentially factor in and slot for them. DK Metcalf. I'm a DK Metcalf fan. I think he's good.
Are you?
Yeah. I think he was my second rated receiver this year, and he can't turn fast necessarily.
Who among us can turn fast?
But he's incredibly fast off the line. Defenses are going to have to respect that. Cornerbacks are going to have to play off probably if they don't.
Yes.
And Russell Wilson's going to test him, and I like the odds there.
Yeah.
Just set him down
the field.
He's a great fit for their offense, in my opinion.
Credit to, one thing I did like about Schottenheimer's offense last year is they did run a lot of play action and they used it to take shots.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice to have a player like Metcalf for that purpose when you have one of the best deep ball passers in the NFL.
Exactly.
I also hope they'll just use him like they did at the end with Jimmy Graham, where they just kind of post him up in the end zone and have him just like put out a hand and get the football.
Exactly.
That would be nice. Yeah. I would enjoy that. I think, for once, like, we know who the offensive line is. There's some continuity, obviously they're still not one of the premier offensive lines in the NFL, but that continuity.
I'll take average. I'll take average. Even slightly below average is totally fine with me.
Yes. Tell Mike Solari how much you love him. We love him.
Yeah.
Nick Mullins and Mike Solari are huge here. But I think so that for once is like not an area of question or concern. We're not really sure at this point what the divide is going to be between Chris Carson and Rashad Penny.
Right.
I think Chris Carson is extremely good.
Have you seen him? He's more buff than DK Metcalf.
Apparently Penny is too. Yeah. We're hearing best shape of his life, which is always true when you hear that.
I hope
Penny obviously shakes out, but I also hope that Carson doesn't get the shaft just because he wasn't a first round draft pick personally.
I mean, I think Carson's going to be the lead back. I think Penny'll
at first, yeah.
I think Penny'll definitely be, you know, involved, but I just, as long as Carson's healthy, like I'm just go with him because he's really, really good. I think he's one of the more underrated players. I know in fantasy circles, a lot of people are really high on Penny, but I'm just like, I'm taking Carson all the way unless
he
gets hurt.
I'm high on Puna Ford.
Yeah. Is it the Puna Hive?
Is anyone else from the Puna Hive in the building? Appreciate that. Needed more than ever because we just got the news today.
Yeah.
Jaren Reed is out for 6 games, suspended for violating the personal conduct policy. So this defensive line, man, is
Who's
a
on it?
It's a situation. You know, earlier I said like a lot of young and second year players are going to have to step up. Well, it's more true than anywhere else, I think, on the defensive line.
Give me your scouting report on Rasheem Green.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. He flashed a little bit in preseason. While flying up here, I sat behind Jacob Martin.
Yeah.
That sounds so creepy, but I knew it was him because
she
he
texted me a picture.
You didn't have to tell them that. He has a giant golden retriever who somehow got on the plane with
Lenny
him.
Lenny is pissed.
he's another guy I think they're going to need to step up. LJ Collier, like, from what I've heard and what I've seen of his college tape, is very good against the run. Bit of a question mark at pass rush.
Right.
And then we don't really know when Ziggy Ansah is going to play. He's still recovering from shoulder surgery.
They're not even expecting him to be in the preseason?
No.
That's really concerning to me. So
we're hearing like week two or three or something.
And the early season schedule is tough. They got the Steelers, Saints, Rams, I believe. I should have probably looked this up beforehand, but there's some hard teams.
Saints, Steelers, Rams after the Bengals.
There you go.
So they can sit out for the Bengals game, but, man,
that's
it gets rough after that. And it's concerning because the secondary also has a lot of question marks.
Right.
Let's talk about the good things. And I'm not just saying this because KJ Wright is in the house, but the linebacker group might be the best in the NFL.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I think legitimately.
And in today's NFL, I think linebackers are more important than ever. That's a strength, but yes, the cornerbacks, Trey Flowers, Chuba Griffin. Flowers, I think, improved a lot as the season went on, especially as a tackler, but,
it's not
the Legion of Boom anymore, I guess,
right.
It's safe to say. So I actually think, and kind of we can wrap it up here before taking some of your questions, the offense is the strength of this team.
Yeah.
No question.
The offense certainly is more, like, established. We kind of know more what to expect, which, isn't saying a ton, but the defense on both the front and the back, huge question marks. I think you're going to have young guys really step up. And, I mean, in the secondary, I think the known quantity is Bradley McDougald, and that's about it. And so, I don't know. The pass rush worries me. That's why I think, like, you get KJ and Bobby Wagner involved as blitzers. Shaquem Griffin maybe can come in as
they're
a situational
rusher. Talking about using
rusher.
Him a little bit differently this season.
Yeah, so they're going to have to
strong
scheme,
side.
They're going to have to scheme up pressure because I think until Ziggy gets back, it's just it's a question mark.
Can only depend on Puna so much.
Right. Yeah.
Record prediction before we take questions, Danny Kelly.
10-6.
That's so optimistic, and I don't care. I love it. Yeah.
This is me. Hedging hard. I think they're a 9-win team that could end up winning 11 games or 7 games, depending on how they do in close games.
I think that's fair.
Way the ball bounces.
I think when you have Russell Wilson on one side and Bobby Wagner on the other, you're always in it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the hallmark of the Seahawks, right?
Yeah.
They've been in every game, basically, apart from a few, but every game in the Pete Carroll era.
They're always in it.
Yeah.
Giving me a heart attack until the very end.
Oh, God. Just miserable. Yeah.
All right. Let's take some questions.
Question. Question. Lenny, for your thoughts.
All right. before we take questions, I want to take a quick second to tell you guys about ZipRecruiter. That was a great transition. Listen, hiring used to be hard. It's true. You're laughing because you know. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes. Uh-oh. I need to hire someone to hold these questions. A confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/Mina. Thank you. Thank you so much. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employees who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, My listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Mina. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MINA. ZipRecruiter.com/Mina. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Oh, thank you. Whew. So hot in here.
That's not easy. That's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah, well, you know, it's written. I was just reading off a piece of paper.
Reading is actually kind of hard.
I meant every word about the hiring. Robert G. We got a Robert G in the crowd? Oh, he's in the back. Okay.
This Robert Gallery?
It is so sweaty. We're all in it together. And by it, I mean the odor. Okay. I don't know why that's up there. Were you going through my personal photos? It's a picture of shirtless Pete Carroll meeting shirtless DK Metcalf. Look at God. All right, Robert, let's hear it.
I was just curious how many body blows it would take for Lenny to take you down on the average evening.
One! He does it with... Lenny knocks me over so easily. And it's when I come home, immediately just as I run in through the door, he knocks me over. He weighs 17 and a half pounds. People weirdly ask me that all the time.
How much does he weigh?
Yeah.
Chihuahuas are...
Lady never tells. What'd you say?
Chihuahuas, they can be mean.
He's not a Chihuahua.
Is he a Chihuahua mix? Come on.
I did the genetic test. Sorry, we're going on a journey. I did the genetic test for him, and I got two genetic tests. They were both gifts. I didn't buy them for myself. And despite it being the same company, I got wildly different results.
Whoa.
We got Courtney J. Courtney in the 12 jersey next to Tyler Lockett.
Hey. All right. Which local Seattle sports legend would you want to watch your dog for an extended period of time?
Such a great question. Yeah. So, like, who is the most trustworthy?
Local, the Seahawks legend? Anybody?
Seattle sports, she said.
Oh, okay.
Edgar is the right choice.
Yeah.
I know. Congrats. Which Seahawk would you choose, Danny?
Which Seahawk? Oh, man. Someone said Walter Jones. That's a really good one.
Walter Jones. Oh, man. This is how far my career has changed, and that I used to get, like, viscerally angry every time Tanner McAvoy got the ball.
You mean he never got the ball? He only turned it over.
Oh, sorry. The best basketball player on the team, we always heard, though. Subverting stereotypes.
Yeah, there we go. My official answer, I think, Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, that's a good one. He protects.
I mean, I trust him.
But also attacks.
Yeah.
I think Tyler Lockett seems really trustworthy, and my mom's nickname for him is Baby Doll. Which is weird. All right. EJ. No, we're good, EJ. She's close to you.
I don't remember any of the signings you guys talked about the NFL offseason. Is there anything the NFL could steal from the NBA to make their offseason more exciting?
EJ with this looks like a Sonics jersey over his shoulder. So,
it's Rashard Lewis.
Yeah, I think the obvious one is get rid of the franchise tag.
Right.
I
mean, obviously, yeah, I think the idea would be mega stars could change teams, right? So, like, you'd have quarterbacks changing teams in the prime of their career, which is pretty unheard of, so.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the thing is it'll never be like the NBA offseason because players are incentivized to be risk-averse. So even if there was no franchise tag, a lot of really talented stars would still sign extensions and not hit free agency just because at any moment, you could get injured and your career could end.
Yeah.
But I do think eliminating the tag, you would see a few more players, a few more big stars hit free agency. I would like to see more player-for-player trades, personally.
Yeah.
Like, just big trades like the NBA, because those are really fun.
For sure.
But we don't see those a lot in the NFL, and I don't think you ever will. There's just no reason, I think.
I mean, Beckham was, like, the
closest.
One. Yeah.
Yes.
So...
And it was
more of that would be fun.
Yeah, extremely stupid. Zame, we're gonna take a couple
Let's talk
more
about the Giants.
Questions. No? Oh, Zame's right here, Broncos fan.
Loves Vance Joseph.
Who is the greatest safety in NFL history, and why is it Earl Thomas?
That's a great question. I don't think it's Earl. He is my number two. I love him more than like, you know.
He's
more
aghast.
Than anything.
His mouth is wide open for the podcast.
I know.
Podcast
Ed Reed is my favorite player to watch in NFL history, so I got to give it to... How unfair is it that the Ravens had Ed Reed and now they have Earl Thomas?
I know. It's ridiculous.
I love Earl. I'm glad he's not in our conference. I'll just say that. we're going to take a couple more. Dana O.
All right. Sorry, this is a little long. So... Meryl Streep on Big Little Lies seemed to be a few steps ahead of the game. And I kind of thought that was like the Patriots. So if you took the other characters from this year, what NFL team do you think represents some of those characters?
Wow, each of the Big Little Lies characters.
By the way, before you say that, this is the greatest Mina Kimes X Ringer collaboration since...
Right.
Since Big Liddy Live.
Yes, right.
Which
this
was
is
on
a
the
collab,
Ringer.
Yes.
Watch that.
I forgot to like introduce you or anything you do or talk about, you know, Danny That's Kelly fine. From the Ringer. Check out the Dynasty Football Pod.
She didn't even put me on the list.
I know. I actually
they wouldn't
don't
let me in.
Meryl Streep wasn't really like the Patriots because she was like more like up 28-3 and didn't run the ball at the end there. So I'd say she's more like the Falcons.
Oh.
I'm just gonna do one of the characters in the interest of time and do my favorite character, Renata Klein. And
I haven't watched, sorry.
80% of you are like, this, what are you talking about? And I'd say she's like the Browns. I saw a Browns jersey cause she's like, she talks a lot of trash. Now the Browns are kinda like, the Browns went from being lovable underdog to trash talking like, a nuisance to the rest of the league so quickly, and I'm obviously completely here for it. One more question. I'm going to take this from Rahul.
With sports analytics becoming more prevalent, how do you envision fans getting more comfortable with the advanced topics in sports analytics?
Yeah, so it was Rahul, right?
Yes.
Asks, how do you get fans into analytics? The way you do it is by... having a football team that dominates in DVOA every year. Like, let's be real. If that didn't happen, most of us wouldn't care. No, I would still care.
It validates our feelings, though, Mina.
Yes.
You have a DVOA jersey.
I know, I do. It was a gift.
Yeah.
It's true, though. I think even though Seattle no longer takes the DVOA title or hangs the banner, watching those teams, understanding how good they were, and then seeing it reflected, I think, in a number kind of helped fans understand that number or want to understand it or, you know, say, hey, this captures success and excellence more than stupid counting stats.
Points.
Points.
Right.
Yeah,
no,
points.
I mean, I think we're starting to see it, actually, right. On broadcasts. Like, they have more... they're not just saying, oh, they led the league in yards or whatever. It's, you know, they're getting a little more in-depth. There's PFF stats on broadcasts now. You know, they're talking about Football Outsiders is becoming much more mainstream.
Yes.
You know, guys like Warren Sharp kind of elevating
the
visibility of a lot of the advanced stats. And the blogs are definitely a huge part of it. So,
yes.
Yeah.
All that said, DVOA means nothing until Seattle's number one again to me. Danny...
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me, bud.
Thank you.
Give it up for Danny Kelly.
Sorry, I go.
All right. So, yeah, you can just leave it on the thing, yeah. Yeah, take the water. Although, leave one for KJ. All right. Yeah. Okay. So, it's about to get a lot taller and stronger. No offense, Danny, on stage. Guys, give it up for KJ Wright. you. Hey, there he is.
How y'all doing? All good?
Hey, Jay. Sorry, it is like 1,000 degrees. I was wearing a jacket. It's just, you're from Mississippi, though. You're used to the heat.
I'm used to like 90, 100 degree weather.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. Did you know that you're the longest tenured Seahawk?
I just found out like a few weeks ago.
How does that make you feel?
Obviously old, and time is flying. It's really flying. 9 years, but it's been fun, though.
How old are you?
I turn 30 tomorrow.
So I'm 30.
Yeah.
Wow.
Appreciate it. Turn 30 tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm 33, so that you feel old makes me feel great. Before I get into your like amazing, and it really is amazing, guys, taking in the, how many fourth rounders not only go to the Pro Bowl, win a Super Bowl, but also get to their third contract? Like, that's really freaking rare.
That's special.
It's cool. Same team.
Same team. And it's crazy. It's like when organizations give you that third contract, they obviously really love you. And it's important when you get to this third contract, you really gotta make more guys to be like you. You know what
yes,
I mean? You gotta take those rookies and make those guys to reach that third contract as well.
Yeah, you're like the old guy in the locker room. Yeah, I know. Do they ever annoy you? Like, they come in and they're listening to like DaBaby, and
I'm like, who is y'all listening? Who
I know,
listening
and they're
to?
Like, and they started on Snapchat.
They started calling me Unk in the locker room.
Unk.
Come on now. Don't get disrespectful.
Oh my God.
It's fun though.
Oh my God. before we get to your illustrious Seahawks career, part of the reason I was excited to have you is because you're my peer. You're a fellow podcaster.
Yeah. Have y'all listened
you guys
to
know
our
that?
Podcast yet?
Pull out your phones and download. Okay, pull out your phones and download KJ Wright's podcast. It's called Topic of Discussion.
Yeah.
And it's with a couple of your friends, right?
Yes.
And I checked it out. It's really fun because every episode you're kind of taking on a different issue.
Yep.
You did one on social media that I thought was interesting because you talked about like addiction a little bit, like all of us. And I guess I wanted to ask you, like, do you feel like athletes use social media as much as the rest of us?
I do. I believe so. And as far as the addiction part, we got to do better and not be on our phones when we're in like social settings. If we're around people, let's be around people. You know what I mean? Let's stay off our phones. Just be engaged.
Yes.
And with the kids, especially, like, I have a daughter and she has an iPad. I'm like, you're around me. No Snapchat, no TikTok.
Really?
Get this mess away from me. Yes.
Are you on TikTok?
No, my daughter is. I'm not.
That's too young for me. Probably the rookies are on TikTok.
I'm sure
DK Metcalf, big TikTok guy.
I'm sure.
Did you like, speaking of social earlier, we had the infamous Russell Wilson contract announcement. Hey, Seattle.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you give us your best Russell Wilson, hey, Seattle voice?
Hey, Seattle. We back. With the chains on and everything, I'm like, Russ. Man, look at him.
Yes. Did you see that video when it came out? I think it was like 11 or something. And we were all waiting to see if the deal would get done. And I saw that. I was like, I don't know whether to be happy I'm a Seahawks fan or like really confused.
I was disturbed when I saw it. I was like, you are a quarterback, bro. You can't be doing that.
I always say about Russell Wilson, he's like the dork. I'm just gonna say he's like the dorkiest person that I would run in front of moving traffic to protect him from injury. Because I love him so much. All right, I want to ask you about your upbringing, kind of how you got here, because you're from a pretty small town in Mississippi.
Yes,
Olive Branch, not Olive Tree.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask. You start playing football really early, like most NFL players, as you can imagine. Very few NFL players are like, I picked it up when I was 16, you know, just messing around. Did you think you were going to be in the NFL? Were you like earmarked for the NFL at an early age?
The crazy thing was when I was younger, I just played just to have fun and just playing in the backyard, pick up ball. And I didn't realize I was going to the NFL until my sophomore year in college. It was a game. I'll tell you the actual moment I realized I was playing. It was a game versus LSU. Went to LSU and just got an ass kicked. But I played really, really good. Had like 10, 11 tackles. And I was like, if I could play with these guys, then I could really play in the NFL. And so at that moment, that was one of my main focuses to make it.
Did you always play linebacker as a kid?
Always played linebacker.
Really? Yes. From the beginning?
Yes, and colleges recruited me to play defensive end.
I was like,
I would not be going there. So I just came down to Mississippi State and South Carolina. They wanted me to play linebacker.
Huh.
So I went to Mississippi
State. So that's how you ended up at Mississippi State?
Yep.
Well, so 2011, taken in the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
As I recall, you obviously weren't in New York or anything, but you weren't even at like a draft party, right?
Nope. Draft day, I was at graduation. Y'all know this story? No, so I was sitting down, about to walk across the stage, had my cap and gown on, and my phone rings, and I was like, hello? And there's John Snyder and Pete that was like, man, why aren't you excited? Are you excited? I was like, I'm about to walk across the stage. Can I call you back? And so, it was a crazy story. So I graduated, and then I got drafted, then I walked across the stage. It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. Yeah.
So you're drafted 2011. The team looks very different from how it obviously is the longest tenured Seahawks. Yeah. You're probably the only player then from that year, right?
I am. And Doug just retired. Everyone loves Doug. That's yeah. Great. Give Doug a round of applause.
Yes.
Everybody loves Doug.
So
and
you bounce, as I remember, that was a T-Jack here. Yeah. You bounced between linebacker roles a little bit from the jump. You eventually won Aaron Curry's job. I remember.
Was that a shot?
Come on, come on. It's been a while. Let it go. I remember vividly my first memory of watching you as a player was a Rams game. Do you remember that game from 2011? It was your rookie year.
Okay.
I think.
Which one is, we played them twice.
I just remember you, making Sam Bradford feel very
bad.
Yeah,
I got a sack. That was a home game, so that's the second game. And, that was a fun game.
Poor Sam.
Yeah. Poor Sam. He got so paid for doing so little, but, it's all good. It's all good. I didn't say that.
You really did.
Take that part out of the podcast, please. Don't put that off.
No, I think Sam's doing all right. But did you, by the way, during before the Russell Wilson kind of era took off, 11, 12, those first 2 years, did you, even actually early in the Russell Wilson years, did you guys hate playing the Rams as much as we hated watching you play the Rams?
It was so bad. There's the Rams, whenever the Rams came on the schedule, we knew it was going to be a dogfight, and we hated it. They weren't even that good.
Yes, why it was so annoying.
They were so bad, but every time they played us
the Super Bowl, it was so annoying. And there'd always be a fake punt.
Fake punt.
Were you on the sidelines? They're gonna fake it.
And then we had to go to the old St. Louis Rams stadium.
The worst.
I don't know if y'all ever been there, but it looks like this. It's dark with a little bit of light, and it's always early. And it was
the worst.
It was so bad.
Some of the least fun games I remember watching. So then in 2012 they draft Bobby.
Yeah.
And what was your perception of him? Were you guys close from the jump?
Yeah, we were close from the jump, but I can't lie. It was just my first year, and so we drafted a linebacker. Me as a rookie, I was like, damn, don't draft any linebackers. I just wanted to be just us and just me. But it worked out perfectly. We've been a tandem for going on 8 years now. It's been fantastic. I push him, he pushed me. We train together. It's just a special, special relationship.
What was it like 2012, 2013, 2014, being part of that defense?
Yeah, that was a special time, and it didn't, when you look at back in history, you look 20 years from now, you will really see how special that unit was, because it was just a bunch of guys that was just on the same page, on one mission, that just played lights out, and there's a few Hall of Famers on that defense, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
a few Hall of Famers, and I miss it. It's just, when guys leave, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
But the relationship still stays because, all those guys. Just,
right. You were at Richard Sherman's wedding,
Sherman's wedding, yeah. They come to the birthday party, so we still all see each other. But playing together, being with each other on a day-to-day basis is what, I really miss the most.
I kind of feel though, from those Super Bowl years, everyone talks so much about the Legion of Boom that the linebackers were kind of overlooked.
Yeah. Let me tell y'all something. I love the Legion of Boom. I love them to death. However, if Bobby or I was to leave the Seahawks after our fourth contract, after our first contract, I'm telling you, it wouldn't have been
different.
Those glory years. I'm not trying to hype us up, we were obviously really talented, But I believe what Bobby and I did was we really kept the team together, and we took the younger guys and made those guys into pros as well. And you know, the LOB did it as well. However, we did it. We did it.
Yeah. No, it's true. I think it's undeniably true. Yeah. You just needed a nickname. That was your problem.
People tried to give us nicknames, but it wasn't good. It was bad.
What was the worst nickname?
They tried to do like the Ninja Turtles thing, and it was...
Oh, because Bobby, right, was like really into the Ninja Turtles.
But yeah, we was like, we're good. We'll pass.
I think you were also a little quieter compared to the Legion of Boom, and that also worked against you, reputationally speaking.
Yeah, they had some loud personalities with mainly Sherm. It's pretty much just Sherm. And it worked out good.
So I want to just talk about that season really quickly, though, that 2012 season, because Russell Wilson comes into the league, and there's this great rivalry with San Francisco. Some of my favorite games, honestly, of the last, 10 years in the NFL, obviously culminating the NFC Championship. And really like an advent of a new type of quarterback, right? With Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, the read option becoming popular. I was wondering from a linebacker's perspective, people had to defend Russell Wilson. You had to defend Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. What was that like?
Hands down the fastest quarterback I ever played. And that team, their rivalry was, it don't get much better than that. Two teams that run the ball. You remember they had Frank Gore and we had Marshawn, two defenses, Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis. It doesn't get much better than that. And each game was decided by like a touchdown. And it hasn't been anything close to that since pretty much Kaepernick left.
Did you guys really hate each other? Like the teams?
I wouldn't say we hated each other, but it was a dogfight. And we knew it was a battle. And whoever wins this division, NFC Championship, is, going to the Super Bowl.
Yes. Well, the NFC Championship I was referring to was really the real Super Bowl in a lot of people's estimation. Remains one of the best games I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You, as I recall, broke your foot earlier.
5 weeks before then.
Yeah, but you played. How much pain were you in?
It was so bad. I had no business out there, but I was like, this is the NFC Championship. I gotta do what I gotta do. And so, I broke my foot, actually versus San Fran, and I came back, played a limited role, but the Super Bowl I played a lot and played good. But that game was pretty painful. And it's crazy, I'm sorry to interrupt you. But on my podcast next week, make sure y'all go listen to it. I brought on Lofa Tatupu.
So Lofa came on.
And so the topic of discussion is why do players play hurt? And so we get into depth of the pressure from teammates, the pressure from coaches, the pain that you feel afterwards because, we've been kind of conditioned to go out there and play even if you're not feeling, 100%. So.
So what you're saying is you don't want an 18-game season.
No. If they do that, I'm retiring. I'm not playing 18 games. That's ridiculous.
So the Super Bowl was kind of weird that year because it was like coming off of that NFC Championship. Yeah. It was kind of like safety. You guys score. Yeah. It was like, all right, this is a little anticlimactic.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I was talking to Bobby like that Wednesday of Super Bowl week and I was watching film. I was like, bro, this game does not have to be close. Cause I was looking like they was really good offense, but I'm like, it's mainly bad defense versus really good offense. And so I was telling him this game does not have to be close and y'all saw the result and I was it was kind of easy. It's kind of easy.
Yeah. I don't even, I don't even have that many questions about the game other than, did you see Percy Harvin and Golden Tate fight?
Oh, no. No. No.
Just give us a little taste of the throwdown. Was it kind of funny?
I just saw the black eye. I didn't see the fight. I just saw Golden came out with his eyes kind of shut before the picture. And I was like, what the hell just happened? And he had to go.
Looking back, oh wow. Speaking of, I swear I'm not trying to
you put me on the spot. You got me sweating now.
I know. We're all sweating. It's okay. Golden Tate thinks Matt Stafford's a better quarterback than Russell Wilson. I don't know if you caught that noise.
I mean, he kind of has to say that. I mean, he played with him. But obviously, Russell's check speaks for himself. So it's pretty easy.
Easy to say. It's pretty hard to make a statistical case otherwise. I guess looking back, was that the best defense you ever played for that year?
2013?
Yeah, the Super Bowl year.
Yes. How was 2014? Can y'all remind me? Was 2014 good too? 2014 was nice too. I gotta go back. It's 2014 may have been better because we had the year to keep growing together and improve, and we had experience.
Yeah.
And so I may have to go 2014.
I mean, it was for a few years. It was really dominant, I think.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like that one-off year, which is very hard to do for great defenses. It's harder than offenses to stay good year to year. That's really unusual.
Exactly.
And then it kind of came undone. I mean, it was slow a little bit. Like guys here and there left, and then.
I believe what happened when our defense started slowing down is because, first of all, other teams around the league started copying us. It was literally like eight teams started running what we was running. And so what teams' offenses started doing was they literally picked us apart. They ran what we call like beaters, like zone beaters to like figure out. They knew what we were in. We were in cover three. Everybody knew what we were in.
I know.
And so they was just running stuff to totally beat what we were doing because they was facing it so much around the league. So that's my theory on why we kind of
those freaking
down.
Wheel routes every time.
Yeah.
Just destroying you guys. It's like so annoying. Yep. I want to talk about that in a second, but I guess I just want to ask you sort of about the dissolution of that defense. Sherman leaves. Cam obviously is forced to, has to retire. Averill, Tom Earl's now gone.
Yep.
Michael Bennett leaves. Frank Clark leaves. I mean, what does it feel like? Kind of like, is it like, you know, that when Will Smith walks into the house and it's empty? Do you feel like that ever when you walk into the locker room?
It sucks. I'm telling you, it's not a good feeling. It's literally just me and Bobby. And I remember getting that phone call from Sherm like, "Hey man, I'm gone." I was like, "What?" Cause when you're a younger player, you just see this and like, man, we're gonna be together forever. We go right off in the sunset. Me, you, Cam, Cliff, but football is a business and it's a injury business. You saw we had two guys that had to stop playing and so it happened way too fast.
Yeah. I want to ask you, you mentioned how the Seahawks scheme and how other teams started copying that cover three, although I kind of think we're seeing it change again now.
Yep.
Football's changed a lot over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Offenses now look very different from when you came into the league. A lot of it's played over the middle of the field in a way that in 2011, Cam Chancellor would have murdered someone for doing now what we see some of these offenses do. And I personally think the linebacker position, I'm not sucking up to you, is now more important in a lot of ways, especially off the ball, what you do. And I want to ask you, like, as a linebacker, as an off-the-ball linebacker, like, how much harder is it now, given what offenses are doing, the use of misdirection?
Right.
Man, this crazy crap the Rams do. Yeah. Like, does it make your job more difficult?
I think as a linebacker, you have got to be prepared. You have to be the most prepared player on the football field because you are getting guys lined up. You're seeing pre-snap clues. You're seeing post-snap stuff. And so as a linebacker, we make it work. And if you go back in the history of all great defenses, look, and you will see that each great defense had a really great linebacker. Name out a defense. I promise you they had a great linebacker. And so we just got to be on our job. We get there super early. We leave late because we got to be on it to be successful.
Quarterbacks, the defense. It's interesting, again, like looking back at the way those Seahawks defenses have changed. Earlier we did a division preview. It's very obviously the strength of the team now, like indisputably.
It is, yeah.
Do you think that you're the best linebacking group in the NFL?
I believe so, and especially when we added Kendricks, just more speed and guy that's in year eight as well. He's played a lot of football, got a Super Bowl, and so we're really good. I love the guys in Dallas. Those three guys are really special. I love Sean Lee, and so I believe that Dallas has a really good special group, and so it's a test.
All right, so this is an extremely nerdy question. It's a football question, and I have to ask, though. There's an ongoing debate in NFL Twitter amongst whether or not. Okay, so we see a lot more play action now, right? Yeah, and it's effective, it works, and it makes your guys' life harder. The question is, when you're defending play action, does it matter who's playing running back? Because statistically, we got one of the best linebackers in the NFL. I got to take this opportunity to ask him. Statistically, it doesn't matter who's playing running back. Play action, it doesn't affect how successful it is. But I want to ask you, as a player on the field, is it more about who's playing running back, or is it more about the offensive line selling you with their run keys? Like, what matters most?
Here's the go. So first of all, play action is, they want you to think it's a run. And so when they give you that run action, you have to somewhat respect it. The thing that you can tell when it's a play action is possibly who's at running back. Another thing that can tell when it's play action is the down and distance. You know what I mean? So if it's like, if they ran the ball, gained 1 yard, they more than likely probably play action because it's second and nine and offenses, they don't want to wait. So second and nine after a run, possibly they can, play action. And so you just got to know your tendencies. And we see that throughout the week.
Would you say that situation and tendencies matter more than who's back there?
Yes. Yes. I believe so.
He knows football over there.
So most definitely.
So listen, last year you were injured from the beginning and it had to have been really frustrating going into a contract year. Mm-hmm. Did you think you were going to still be a Seahawk battling those injuries?
I did not think I was coming back. And it's crazy because I played 5 games last year and on my third contract, all the signs said that, KJ, we thank you, but we have to move on. And I wouldn't have been mad at the Seahawks. I would have totally understood it. However, they found a number to make me happy and they know what I bring to the table on and off the field. And so it was kind of a no-brainer for them. It was smart for them to bring me back.
I like that.
Yeah.
Even though you were not, you didn't play as much as you would have liked, you were still Seahawks nominee for Walter Payton Man of the Year last season.
Yeah.
Let's get some applause for that.
Yeah.
For a few projects, building housing for the homeless here, raising money to build wells in Africa. How'd you get involved in those two causes?
Yeah, so regarding the homes, Sawhorse Revolution, they came at the training camp. And I just started talking to random people and they said, hey, this is what we do. We build homes for the homeless. Would you like to come out? And I just said yes, because I can't build anything to save my life, like in my house. I suck at building. And so I was like, I could definitely use the practice anyway. And so I went out there and I did it 2 years in a row. I just went this past year
as well.
And with Africa, me and the guys, I took a trip. It was like a guy's trip. And we just went out there just to experience and live life. And that's when we noticed that they had a water, situation. And so we raised around $80,000. Thank y'all for your help.
Wow.
For everyone that donated. And we get two wells built out there.
And you just went back.
I just went back, yeah.
Tell us about your last trip.
It was amazing. First of all, I believe everyone should go visit Africa because we had went on safaris. We had took hot air balloons.
Ooh.
We went on a hot air balloon. And it was just an amazing place. Whenever you think of the Lion King, think of where I went, and it's just this place is just magical.
What was the craziest animal you saw?
We saw the big five, and I believe the best animal is obviously the lion.
Yes.
It don't get much better than that. It's just hands down the best animal.
This is a very young defense right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of question marks, I would say.
Mm-hmm. What do you have questions about?
Not the linebacking group. I'll put it that way. We talked about it earlier. The secondary, there's still some question marks, I think, although it's a little bit clearer there who's going to start. The pass rush, who's going to rush the passer?
Mm-hmm.
The defensive line, the run defense last year was not as great as it's been in recent years. I think they committed to improving that, but sell us on the Seahawks defense. Like, why will this defense be better than people think?
Yeah, I believe obviously starts with both Bobby and myself, just first of all being great leaders, being great pros that know how to play ball. And this really go fall upon us. I believe that the team is going to reflect how well we play. And if the pass rush is not getting there, blitz Bobby. He can get sacks. And if, the back end is not doing good, I believe Coach Norton is an excellent defensive coordinator. You got to change some stuff up. If the DBs are struggling staying on top, let's switch up the coverage, go 2 high safeties. We may be a little light in the run, but we got to protect ourselves on the back end. And so I believe we go all figure it out. We all three of us have a good relationship, and I think it'll be fine.
Do you think because of the absence of an experienced pass rush with, we don't know when Ziggy Ansah is going to come back, for example, we might see more, you alluded to this, of kind of what we saw out of New England during that postseason run, where you might see they're going to have to get a little bit more creative and bring it from other parts of the field?
Oh, no doubt. You got to evolve. You got to evolve as a defense, and you got to look at your personnel and see, okay, what are we good at? What do we have here? And we got to put ourselves in position to be successful. I don't think you'll see the same cover 3 stuff we did in 2013. We got to switch it up because teams are figuring it out, and we have a whole new personnel.
So KJ Wright goes from 4th round to being the longest tenured Seahawk, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Who's the next KJ Wright on the team? So, like, give us a name, some young player to get excited about.
I really like Cody Barton. Y'all know the linebacker from Utah?
Utah,
he's going to be really good.
Is he good?
I love Cody. This may sound cliche, but everybody loves DK, but the dude can play. We just saw him in shorts and t-shirts, but I believe when we do put the pads on, Russell go really use him the right way. So we'll see. We'll see.
I'm saying. All right. We're going to get some rapid-fire questions.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
Question one, were you impressed by Pete Carroll's bod?
He looks good. To be 68, the man looks good.
He's the oldest coach, right, in the NFL now? Is he older than Belichick? 68? Yeah, that's insane. The man looks good. Yeah, that is really something. Were you surprised when you saw this video? I don't know what to
say. I'm not surprised at all. I just saw him like 2 days ago in the VMAC, and he was like literally running around the VMAC, like running upstairs. I'm like, how is he still doing it?
What's the craziest thing Pete's ever done in front of you?
I'm telling you. It was like a Saturday night before a game. You know, we have our team meetings. And I wish, like a chalkboard. It's like a chalkboard right there that we were all the stuff on. He was trying to get us hyped up. This dude did a cartwheel into the freaking chalkboard. And he fell like on the ground. Just trying to get us hyped up. Hands down, the craziest thing I've ever seen this man do. Yeah.
Poor 66-year-old Pete Carroll. That's so... All right, next question. Who's your least favorite quarterback to play?
I gotta say, because he's so good and it's so hard to beat him, it's Tom Brady.
Brady, yeah.
He's hands down the hardest quarterback to play.
Who's your favorite quarterback to play?
Nah. My favorite quarterback to play is Cam Newton. I love playing against Cam Newton. Because he's like so good and he's like...
That's crazy, man. I would think you wouldn't want, because who wants to get trucked by Cam Newton?
I love playing him. And it's, every time we play him, it's like a battle and you know, they run the zone stuff, so I match up against them. My other favorite was Kaepernick as well, but, you know, Cam is fun.
Do you know who Cable Thanos is?
Should I know? I've never heard of him. Cable Thanos.
Thanos. He's the king of Seahawks. It's because you're not on social media as much as the rest of us. Smart. King of Seahawks Twitter. You have two kids and a third on the way?
Yeah, do
congrats.
Next month. Yeah.
I was wondering, so my friend Danny Kelly was up here earlier.
Yep, I was
just had a baby.
Congrats, Danny.
Wondering if you could give some parenting advice to Danny Kelly.
Parenting? Is his first kid?
It's his first kid, yeah.
You're used to changing diapers, man. It's never ending. It's never ending. And make sure you help your wife out because she going to need it. Just be whatever she does. Just do it. Don't question her. Do what she says, and you'll be all right.
Can't believe I'm about to do this, but I don't even know how to explain this.
What's that?
The co-host of this podcast is a dog.
He's, what'd you say?
It's my dog. He gets to ask a question, and I did this to Matt Hasselbeck. I'm going to do it to you. He asks it, and I ask it in his voice. I'm so sorry.
Let's hear it.
I hope you don't lose respect for me. KJ.
Oh, Lord.
I didn't tell you about this before asking you to do it for a reason. KJ, I've been learning a lot about NFL rules. Can you explain to me the batted ball rule?
Oh, Lord. Hey, so raise your hand if you knew that rule. Raise your hand.
If you knew before,
you're lying.
Before the game.
You're lying.
Before the Lions game. That's
you knew
the
it?
Caveat.
I didn't know it. And I was like, great play, catch. You knocked the ball out of bounds. And after the game, it was like, the Seahawks just cheated and won the game. I was like, what?
You know what? Everybody on Twitter was like, that's the batted ball rule. And it was like, please.
That's a terrible rule.
None of you knew that rule before Dean Blandino explained it.
Because they teach us. They teach us when the ball is there, knock it out of bounds. So our coaches literally taught us that.
So you were feeling pretty good in the moment.
I felt awesome. I thought, I was like, we won the game. Good job, Cam.
I don't care. In my mind, it was a successful play.
It was good.
KJ, thank you so much for joining us.
This was awesome.
Oh,
enjoyed it.
Yo, wait. topic of discussion. Download this podcast. Sounds like there's going to be a great episode
coming
up. Yes, Lopa
coming on this week. So it's on my Instagram. Yeah. You'll see it. Let's go to my Instagram.
And leave some reviews telling him how much you enjoyed him on the Mina Kimes show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Enjoyed
it. Give it up. One more quick thing. I'm going to hang out for a little bit, and if you guys want to say hi, take some pictures, Danny's going to hang out too, and thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it.